What if everything that you know about consciousness and this reality is completely wrong? Now, what is consciousness? What is reality? This thinking and this pursuit has been going on for thousands and thousands of years. Philosophers from across the world have been exploring this reality for millennia. And some of the most famous worldviews on reality and some of the famous philosophies are as follows. There is pantheism, there is panpsychism, there is solipsism, and then there is Advaita Vedanta. And one of the questions that we keep getting often is, what is the difference between pantheism or panpsychism and Advaita Vedanta? So primarily, these are Western philosophies which were developed by Western philosophers. And as you all know, Advaita Vedanta is an ancient tradition in India. This is the core foundation of Sanatana Dharma, which was propounded and which was revived by Adi Shankaracharya. And this is the essential teachings of the Upanishads and the Vedas. So we will discover these different philosophies and worldviews and what they say about reality and what are the key differences between these philosophies and how some of the perspectives that is given here are actually fundamentally missing the essence of reality and how Advaita Vedanta can fill the gap and provide us with a higher perspective and the truth on reality. Now, before we go ahead, I would like to make it clear that I'm not an expert in all of these philosophies. I primarily study and work with Advaita Vedanta from many, many years, but I will refer to the research and data provided by authentic sources. First, let's look at the example, right? And some of the people who propounded these worldviews. When it comes to pantheism, there is Spinoza. You know, it is said even Albert Einstein once said that he believes in some sort of Spinoza's God, which is basically pantheism. What it is, we will come to next. And when it comes to panpsychism, the name that comes up is Whitehead. And when it comes to solipsism, it's Descartes. You know, Descartes' exploration can be equated to solipsism. And when it comes to Advaita Vedanta, it is the great Adi Shankaracharya who is a key figure. Of course, Advaita Vedanta was the essence of the Upanishads. It was always there for thousands and thousands of years. But Shankaracharya revived it and he gave us a profound framework to understand it. With this, let's come to the worldviews of these different philosophies. At first, let's look at the nature of reality. So what is reality? How can we understand reality from the perspectives of these different philosophies? The pantheism is about monoistic divinity. So we can look at it this way. According to pantheism, God and the universe are one and the same. There is no separate God apart from the universe. God is the universe. Every aspect of this existence is God itself. Now, from the surface, it might sound familiar and it might sound similar to Advaita Vedanta, but we will soon understand how this is very different. So, as per pantheism, God and nature are identical. God is nothing but this universe. And if I have to read something here, pantheism states, the universe as a whole is God. Reality is an all-inclusive unity that is, in some sense, divine. Spinoza's pantheism, for instance, posits one infinite substance, which is God or nature or whatever, of which everything else is a mode. There is nothing outside this one. Everything that exists is a part of the same being. So imagine the entire universe as just one substance, as just one being, right? That is pantheism. And when we look at panpsychism and what it talks about when it comes to reality, it focuses on the mind matter. So panpsychism says every aspect of this universe has consciousness, has its own consciousness and its own mind. So it states reality is composed of different units, different objects, different substances, etc. But all of these units have a mental or experiential aspect. So even a rock experiences things at a subtle level in its own way, as per panpsychism. So panpsychism talks about mental being as being equivalent to physical being, stating that every aspect and every unit within this cosmos, including a rock or a pebble, has its own mental being, just like its physical being. So it focuses on that. So reality in this view is intrinsically experiential through and through. So reality here is experiential. Now let's come to solipsism and let's understand how this talks about reality. So solipsism talks about subjective realism. This means solipsism states everything that we are experiencing is within our own mind. Whatever we are seeing is in our own mind. Just like within our dream, whatever we experience in the dream world was within our own mind. So solipsism states even this external reality is just an appearance in our mind and a projection in our mind. Now, again, this might sound familiar to Advaita Vedanta, but again, it is very different, which we will come to later. So solipsism states reality exists solely in one's own mind. So the individual self, the mind and the individual identity is the only existing reality. Apart from that, everything is something which cannot be proved for sure, right? This might be a simulation. What exists apart from us, we cannot say it is real because it is all a happening in our mind. That is the statement of solipsism. So basically, solipsism says everything is inside. Nothing is outside of us. Reality is within and it is within our own mind. Now let's come to the ancient Advaita Vedanta and what it says about the nature of reality. Advaita Vedanta is a very, very unique and a very deep perspective on reality. Of course, from the surface, some of the statements made in these different philosophies might be similar to Advaita Vedanta, but it is fundamentally very different. First of all, Vedanta says there is one absolute reality that it calls Brahman. Shankara said, Brahma Satya Jagat Mitya Jivo Brahmaivanapara. Brahman or the infinite consciousness is real and absolute. Apart from that, everything else, the duality, the separation and whatever we experience currently is an appearance. It's a temporary phenomenon within consciousness. So Brahman is looked at as the ultimate reality in Advaita Vedanta. And this explanation of Brahman, what it is fundamentally different from any of the other philosophies. Here, pantheism looks at reality in this way. God and nature are one and the same. Advaita Vedanta does not say this. Advaita Vedanta says Brahman is not equivalent to nature or this universe. Brahman, of course, is the fundamental reality. In one way, Brahman is the universe also because Advaita is non-duality. It states internal, external, object, subject are fundamentally one and the same at the ultimate level. But it goes even deeper. It goes even further to state, ultimately, there is only Brahman. So, Brahma Satya. There is only Brahman. There is nothing called as the nature. There is nothing called as the universe. Ultimately, there is only this infinite consciousness and the nature, the subject-object split, the experiences that we are having. All of these things are simply appearances because of avidya or ignorance. And once we go beyond this avidya, we will begin to see that everything is one and everything is Brahman. Even when we compare panpsychism to Advaita Vedanta, we can see some similarities here. Even Advaita Vedanta says the manifested reality is experiential and each and every object within the universe has consciousness within it, has some kind of a subtle existence to it, what Vedanta calls as the subtle body, the sukshma sharira, right? Even Vedanta says sukshma sharira is there for different beings. But again, it doesn't stop here. So that is why it is different from panpsychism, because Advaita Vedanta states, although there is an aspect of subtle body in this relative dimension of Maya, ultimately, there is only Brahman, there is only the infinite consciousness. And this is not fragmented consciousness. There is no fragmented consciousnesses, you know, for each and every one of us. It is one universal consciousness. So that is Brahman as per Advaita. But here there is fragmentation. And then comes solipsism, which talks about subjective realism and it states everything is inside. Again, from one perspective, Advaita Vedanta says the same thing. Advaita Vedanta says, whatever you are experiencing outside of you is actually happening within you. Everything is happening within your awareness. Even in Mandukya Upanishad, which we discuss often, it is mentioned how this reality, this waking world is like a dream and everything is an appearance in this dream. But this example is given to point towards a very subtle reality. It is not to say that the external reality is just like the dream where everything that you're experiencing is within your own mind. Advaita Vedanta does not say that. Advaita Vedanta does not say the universe exists in your mind. It says the universe exists in the infinite consciousness the Vedanta calls Brahman. And your mind is also not who you are as per Vedanta. Our mind is simply one aspect of us. If we peel different layers of our being, finally we will come to that infinite Brahman or that infinite consciousness, which is essentially who we are. So, as per Advaita Vedanta, universe exists in this infinite consciousness and we are that infinite consciousness. Unlike solipsism, where the universe is simply an appearance in our individual mind. So, I hope the differences are clear. With this, let's come to the second parameter where these different worldviews differ, and that is consciousness. So, consciousness is talked about in each of these philosophies in different ways. Let's explore that now. When it comes to pantheism, there is one divine consciousness, which is all pervasive, just like Vedanta. There is one universal consciousness, which is all pervasive. There is one God. This consciousness itself is the nature. It itself is the God. It itself is the intelligence, whatever. So there is one consciousness as per pantheism. Apart from this, pantheism generally does not sharply distinguish between matter and mind. Everything is an aspect of divine. Even Spinoza's system holds that one substance has infinite attributes, including thought, which means the cosmos has a mental aspect as well as a physical aspect. So this is how pantheism looks at consciousness. Now let's come to the panpsychism, where it talks about consciousness or experience being there in all aspects of creation, not just human beings or not just living things, but even in inanimate matter and even in non-living things, the same experiential aspect, the same consciousness exists. So that is what panpsychism says, which we can put as ubiquity of mind. So panpsychism says here, experience is present throughout reality, not only in higher organisms. Every fundamental entity possesses some experiential quality. In other words, mind is embedded in all matter. Human or animal consciousness is just a complex combination of the simple mindful units. Now again, each of these philosophies are very deep. We are just exploring these on the surface just to get an overview of them. And also, if I go wrong anywhere with regards to these philosophies, let me know in the comments. Now with this, let's come to solipsism and how it describes experience and consciousness. So again, solipsism says there is one consciousness that exists, right? There is one consciousness that exists, that is my consciousness, that is the conscious of the mind. And within my mind, within my consciousness, everything exists. So that is solipsism. Solipsism states that my mind is the sole undeniable reality. We cannot be anything sure of anything that exists apart from our mind because everything is happening within our mind. So that is the logic. And the consciousness of others, if at all they exist, is inaccessible and potentially just part of my experience, right? This is how even Vedanta asks us to look at reality. But again, Vedanta is speaking from a different perspective and a deeper perspective here. So let's come to Advaita Vedanta again. Now consciousness in Advaita Vedanta is Brahman. So consciousness is Brahman, and this infinite consciousness is the only reality. There is nothing apart from it. So it's not like one divine consciousness which has become matter, like in here, because Advaita Vedanta states this Brahman has not become anything. It is just what it is. It is described as Sat or existence. It simply exists as itself, but its existence is infinite and absolute. It's very difficult to grasp because here we are reaching the limitations of the mind, the boundaries of the mind. But as per Shankara and Advaita Vedanta, consciousness or Brahman is non-dual. It is one, but not in a way pantheism describes it. This consciousness has not become something. It is what it is. And again, unlike panpsychism, this consciousness is not fragmented. Consciousness is fundamental and primal and it is one. It is not fragmented. And coming to solipsism, although it states one consciousness, the consciousness of solipsism is perhaps referring to the mind, to the individual awareness. Here Vedanta differs because Vedanta clearly differentiates between Brahman or Atman, that is the infinite consciousness, and the awareness of the mind, which is Chidabhasa, that is reflected consciousness or channeled consciousness. So what Vedanta calls Chidabhasa, the channeled consciousness of the mind, that is what solipsism perhaps is referring to as that one consciousness within which everything exists. But Vedanta says Chidabhasa is not in which the universe is. The universe is an appearance in the infinite consciousness, the true nature of us, which is currently identified with an individual ego. And because of it, the infinite consciousness is channeling through that identification, or it is reflecting on that identification, and we are experiencing the awareness of the mind. When Vedanta says Brahman, it is not referring to the awareness that you have right now because of your mind through which you are watching this video. It is referring to something which is even deeper. It says when we trace back this awareness that we are experiencing, it takes us to that infinite consciousness. So here, Advaita Vedanta speaks of Chidabhasa and it states, our current experience is because of this limited awareness of the mind. And next, let's come to the third parameter which differentiates these philosophies and worldviews, which is the self, right? How the self is explained. Let's understand that. Now, as per pantheism, the self is just a mode of one, which means our individual ego and our individual experience and identity is just one attribute of that one universal God that pantheism speaks of. We are just one aspect of it. And when it comes to panpsychism, it speaks of plurality. So there is plurality of selves. Like panpsychism says, every object has its own mental being and its own level of consciousness. A rock has its own self. A table has its own self. I have my own sense of self. And like this, each of us have our own senses of ourself. So it talks about plurality. And when it comes to solipsism, it states only the self exists. So solipsism says only the self exists, like Advaita Vedanta. But the self that Advaita Vedanta refers to is called Atman, which is again Brahman itself, right? I am Atma Brahma. Advaita Vedanta says our own self, our own true self, true nature, not this awareness that we have right now, not this individual identity that we have, like solipsism says, but our deeper nature that we are not yet aware of. That is Atman, that is the self, which is one, which is universal, which is infinite, which is who we are, which is what everything is. That is that one that Advaita Vedanta refers to when it talks about the infinite nature of self. But what solipsism is referring to is not Brahman, not that infinite consciousness, but it refers to the individual's awareness, which is the awareness of the mind. With this, let's come to the fourth parameter, that is God or the ultimate reality, how each of these philosophies look at God or the ultimate reality, the source. That is what we will discuss now. Now again, like we discussed earlier, as per pantheism, God is the world. So there is no difference between the world and the God. God is the world and the world is God. Everything is made up of one substance and everything is one. So that is pantheism. When it comes to panpsychism, it says God is not necessary to understand reality. So the existence of God is not necessary for us to comprehend this reality, and each and every one of us have our own sense of self and our own consciousness and our own mental being, and there can be God, there may not be God, there are different theories, there are different interpretations, but God is not a primary aspect of panpsychism. So panpsychism is compatible with atheism or various other theisms. Many panpsychists are secular viewing consciousness as a natural property of matter. So God is not a primary aspect of panpsychism, but God is a primary aspect of pantheism, and it states God and the world is one. Again, we will see how this is different from Advaita Vedanta's explanation of God and reality. Before that, let's come to solipsism. So to a solipsist, God is just another mind. So since solipsism states that everything that we are experiencing is happening within our own awareness, that is the awareness of the mind, solipsism states even if there is a God outside, it is simply an appearance in our own mind. So God is again not a fundamental aspect of reality as per solipsism. So God is just another object or another experience or another consciousness, which again is an appearance in our consciousness of the mind. So God is not a primary aspect of this philosophy. So solipsism states God's existence is doubtful. No claim about God can be certain since it would be outside of my mind. Whatever is outside of me, how can I be sure of it? And this is a valid question which Advaita Vedanta resolves. In a way, Advaita Vedanta is a culmination of all these philosophies and even more, and it gives the complete conclusion on reality, not just intellectually, but Shankara calls Advaita Vedanta an intuitive science, right? It is intuitive. We can experience it step by step. It is not just theory. So let's understand how God is described in Advaita Vedanta. So Advaita Vedanta sees Brahman as the ultimate reality. If we consider Brahman the ultimate reality as God, then that is all there is to it. But then there is also a secondary explanation of God in Advaita Vedanta, which Advaita Vedanta calls as Ishvara. This is a God with form and attributes like Shiva, like Vishnu, like Narayana, like Devi. These are different manifestations of this Brahman within the manifested universe of Maya, within the world of duality for our benefit. So that infinite consciousness or Brahman in this relative dimension manifests as that God with attributes and forms to help and guide humanity and to take us in the right direction and to help us in different ways. So this is Ishvara, but as per Advaita Vedanta again, Ishvara is nothing but Brahman. It is just an appearance in Brahman from our individual perspective of avidya. When we are within this matrix, when we are in this Maya, and when we look at God, we cannot experience that infinite consciousness of Brahman that is beyond all attributes, that is beyond all forms, and that is totally absolute. Our mind can only comprehend forms and boundaries and qualities. That is the nature of the mind, because the mind itself is a product of Maya. Mind itself is a product of time-space reality. Whatever it can experience should be within time-space reality. So that infinite consciousness appears as the God of form, as Narayana, within this projected universe for our benefit. That is how Advaita Vedanta looks at Ishvara or the God with attributes. But ultimately, Vedanta states the ultimate reality or the true God is the Brahman. That is the infinite consciousness, which is beyond all forms, beyond all attributes, beyond everything. And everything else, the universe itself, is an appearance within this infinite consciousness. With this, let's come to how perception and knowledge is explained within each of these philosophies. So according to pantheism, the world is perceived in this way. Everything is divine. So whatever we see all around us, everything is divine because everything is that one primordial substance. Everything is God. There is no God and there is no universe separately. God is the universe. So pantheism states everything is divine. And in panpsychism, we can look at hierarchy, right? So as per panpsychism, there is hierarchy in perception because it states there is a mental being in each and every object. But at the same time, human experience and human perception is very different and it is much evolved compared to the perception of a dog and then compared to a perception of a rock. So panpsychism states there are units which make up the mental being. So these units are more complex within human beings because of which there is a higher level of perception and a higher level of consciousness. Whereas in an object or in an animal, these units are low and the perception is low. So there is sort of a hierarchy when it comes to perception and experience. So it states, even an electron perceives in a rudimentary sense the forces of nature, though not with conscious thought. Human perception is an emergent high-level form of the ubiquitous awareness ingrained in matter. So the knowledge of the world is continuous with the world's knowing of itself. The divide between subject and object is bridged by the fact that both are manifestations of the same consciousness matter substance. So this is how panpsychism talks about perception and experience. And when it comes to solipsism, it looks at experience and perception as private. It is just one mind. It is just we as an individual mind who is perceiving this world and we are knowing this world. There is nothing outside of us. Everything is within us and we are just knowing what is within us. So all perception is a form of imagining. The things I see, I hear, I touch are entirely within my mind. I have no ground to say they correspond to an external reality independent of me. So solipsism is about extreme skepticism. The external world, the other minds, even logical and scientific truths are not certain. Only the immediate fact of my consciousness is. It is a very true exploration. It is a very valid way to look at reality. But Advaita Vedanta doesn't stop there. Advaita Vedanta says, perception and knowledge is all a happening in Brahman, in the infinite consciousness, but through the limited awareness of the mind, which we understood as Chidabhasa, right? So Advaita Vedanta says, perception right now is happening because there is a subject-object split. Ultimately, there is no subject-object split. There is only the subject, there is only the infinite consciousness. But because of our ignorance, because of our avidya, we are perceiving a subject-object split in this material world and because of which we are having different experiences. And even knowledge and perception is happening because of avidya. If there was no avidya, then there would not be a subject-object split. If there is no subject-object split, there cannot be any experience. If there is no experience, then how can knowledge and perception happen? Then there is only the truth. There is only Brahman, the ultimate reality. So knowledge and perception as per Advaita Vedanta happens in this relative dimension of Maya. Because there is duality here, because we are ignorant of our true nature, because there is time, space and causation, we perceive different things from this limited identification and we gain knowledge of different things. And even when it comes to knowledge, Vedanta differentiates between the higher knowledge and the lower knowledge. Higher knowledge or Brahma Jnana is about exploring Brahman, the essential nature of reality and transcending this dualistic world. The lower knowledge is relative knowledge. Mathematics, science and learning different things, whether it is fashion, whether it's automobiles, all these things are lower forms of knowledge and pursuing reality and the knowledge of Brahman is the higher knowledge as per Vedanta. With this, let's come to the final parameter, that is liberation or enlightenment. When it comes to pantheism, it does not have a typical formal doctrine of moksha or liberation as in Indian traditions, but it talks about a deep sense of spiritual fulfillment by the wisdom of how everything is one and with the communion of God. So it talks about a deep sense of fulfillment because of this knowledge. So the salvation for a pantheist is often described as recognizing and harmonizing with the unity of everything. For example, in this regard, Spinoza spoke of the highest joy coming from the intuitive knowledge of God or nature. So it talks about fulfillment by understanding the divinity in everything. When it comes to panpsychism, it does not talk about any form of liberation because it does not look at these experiences and the world as suffering or samsara, the way Vedanta looks at the world as a continuous cycle of samsara, of birth and death and suffering. So panpsychism doesn't look at reality that way. It simply is a metaphysical exploration of reality where it looks at how within every object there is some kind of a mental being. And similarly, solipsism also doesn't talk about or doesn't focus on liberation. It simply states everything is in my mind, every object, every experience is happening within my own awareness of my mind, and if I have to change my experience, I simply have to change the state of my mind, and there is no concept of liberation here. But when it comes to Advaita Vedanta and Shankaracharya's explanations, there is a very, very strong emphasis given to moksha, which is liberation or enlightenment, which fundamentally is the recognition of the fact that we are Brahman or the ultimate reality. So moksha is about breaking free from our individual limited identity as the body mind and recognizing our nature as Brahman, as the infinite consciousness, and ultimate goal is this as per Vedanta. Vedanta says the ultimate goal for anyone is this simple thing. That is Atyantika Dukkha Nivritti Paramananda Prapti, which translates to freedom from all kinds of suffering and the attainment of the absolute permanent bliss. So this is what each and every one of us seek. None of us wish to experience suffering. We need a way out of suffering. That is what we call freedom. And not just this, we also wish to experience that infinite, profound sense of fulfillment or joy. And we wish to experience this permanently, eternally. This should not come and go, but this should be with us. This should be who we are. So this is what each and every one of us seek, and reaching that state is called moksha in Advaita Vedanta. That can only happen if we realize that we are not the body and mind, but the infinite consciousness in essence. So that is how Vedanta speaks of the liberation or moksha.